The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey folks, I challenge you to think of at least one thing you no longer do that you wish you could. Do you miss like playing golf, maybe long walks with your spouse, sleeping through the night? Are you ready to start living without pain? My colleagues and friends, Hugh Hewitt, Dennis Prager, Mike Gallagher, have been talking about their own successful experience with Relief Factor, and you can add Eric Metaxas to that list. Relief Factor is changing the lives of tens of thousands of Salem radio listeners by reducing and even eliminating daily aches and pains. ReliefFactor.com is full of great success stories, and now I am on board. For just $19.95, Relief Factor is offering a three-week quick start that could help you live your life with little to no pain. Go to ReliefFactor.com to see testimonials from folks all over the country. I love reading them. Over 70% of those that try Relief Factor continue as a customer. Feel the relief and get back your independence and freedom from the aches and pains of everyday life. Go to ReliefFactor.com. Read the testimonies. I tell all my relatives to take it. ReliefFactor.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I will make this brief. My dear mother once said to me,
if you don't have something nice to say about someone, then don't say anything.
So here he is,
Eric Metaxas.
What do you think he's saying?
Don't know. I don't want to go there.
I just wonder if he... Maybe I'm reading too much into it.
Maybe. I mean,
I know Todd personally, and he is a mean, you know, kind of a bitter, unpleasant person. And so maybe I'm reading that into what he just said. It doesn't matter.
Let it go.
The Eric Metaxas Show.
It is.
Very exciting. We just spoke to Baroness Cox.
Love it.
Baroness is not her first name. This is not like Queen Latifah. This is an actual baroness with the tiara and the whole nine yards. And she was just here, and we're going to have her back for a second round. Seriously, she's one of the greatest heroes I've ever known.
Yeah.
She risks her life around the world. And, you know, she's I know she's in her 70s. I don't know. I think actually she hit 80 a year ago.
Really?
She is a hero. And you can look her up, Baroness Caroline Cox. But she'll be back here.
And very unassuming, too. You'd think
that's the whole point.
Baroness.
She acts kind of like, I'm a nobody.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, you're really a somebody.
You're a living legend.
She is. She is. So we'll have more with her in a second. I want to talk about what happened to me last night on the Shannon Bream Show.
Yes,
I was on Shannon Bream late last night.
Okay.
And let me tell you something.
Yes.
I had to go up against that Jessica Tarloff. She's a monster, I tell you. No, she's actually very nice.
She seems okay.
No, she's extremely nice. But it's interesting. Shannon Bream had me on to talk about this college scandal.
Yes.
Now, some people have been following this. And you can probably watch the clip. I'll put it out on Twitter or on Facebook, what I said. But roughly what I said was that when you bribe someone or when you're participating in what's called corruption, okay, I'm not talking about giving a gift to the college, which makes it easier for your kids to get in. That's another subject, and maybe we don't like that either. But I'm saying that this is a different level. This is actual corruption where you're bribing people. It's a crime. Like, it's a big crime. They're bribing the people who administer the SATs. Now, imagine.
Wow.
That's exactly like bribing a judge. In other words, it's so dirty. It is so wrong when you have all these other kids studying their tails off, working hard, sweating over the test, and then somebody like writes a check or gives money to some corrupt person, and then suddenly their kid's score jumps. And I thought to myself, this is so wrong.
Yeah.
We need to speak about this in the culture. So what I said on Shannon Bream last night was that there's an irony here. You're trying to get your kids into these colleges, right? You're using these corrupt means. You don't believe in truth. You just believe in, I need to do what I need to do for me. And then they get to these colleges, and what are they taught at the colleges? That there is no truth.
Yeah.
That the concept of honor is an old-fashioned, outdated concept. It's a patriarchal construct. We don't believe in that anymore. We don't believe in any of this stuff. And I thought, think of the irony here.
Right.
That you're dying to get your kids into these schools so that they can learn that It doesn't make any difference if I cheat or lie or steal. And frankly, why would it? And
yeah.
Actually,
well, the more you the more you cheat to get into school just shows, hey, you could be an A student here, right?
Exactly.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, when you get to the school, you bribe the teachers.
Yeah, there you
they'll
go.
Give you A's, and you could bribe your way. You know,
well, I like they've been using Photoshop to put a face on a runner to say that, yeah, my kid's on track, and he's the star runner, and he's going to be on the track team.
But
so,
can you imagine, the dirtiest piece of it, like the thing that made me really feel awful, was I thought, these parents are teaching their children to lie and cheat.
Mm.
And I actually felt bad for them, for Felicity Huffman and Lori, what's her name, from Full House. I felt bad for them because I think, like, it's going to hit them that what they did is not right. And
yeah.
So I ask you folks, pray for them if it occurs to you, because they're going through it, these people. They did an ugly thing. And it's got to be very painful for the whole family, and recriminations, you know, between the husband and wife. It was your idea. And, it, you know, yeah. We know how it goes in marriages. And I just want to say, please pray for these folks. And I guess I also wanted to say that the way they arrested Felicity Huffman, I don't know if you followed this, but it's kind of like the Roger Stone situation. It was not exactly that, but it was completely uncalled for. And whoever decided that this sweet woman, okay, you know, people do things wrong, but you still have to treat them with some dignity. They arrested her with drawn guns at her home.
Unbelievable.
And I thought to myself, are you kidding me? This is like living in a police state. Even if somebody's guilty, do you need to treat them that way?
Right.
I just want to say that to me, that's wrong. It's un-American, okay? And I know law enforcement, they don't make these decisions. It's somebody high up in law enforcement,
yeah.
Whoever it was. But it looks political. It looks kind of like we're going to make a point. We're going to do this. And that's just wrong to humiliate somebody, you know, an actress who obviously is not – she's not working for El Chapo. She's
exactly.
Not going
to
pull out her gun
to get her kid
and
into
blow you
into college. That's you – know.
So as wrong as it is, yeah. I mean, it's very – it's horrifying what they did. But actually, the other point I was going to make, too, what they did, it's so horrifying because what it does is it undermines everyone's faith in all the institutions.
Yes.
When you take the SAT – there are going to be kids now. You know this. They're going to go and take the test. What does it even matter? Somebody else is cheating. Once you corrupt the system, you're corrupting everybody, and you're causing everyone to lose faith in, I didn't get into college. You know why? Because my parents don't have the money. I didn't get into college. Because, in other words, the sense that there's a fair playing field. And by the way, it is a roughly fair playing field. Of course, certain people always have advantages. I mean, you have advantages with genes. Some people are born smarter. Some people are born, you know, with a will to win. Some people learn that. Some people, it's very complicated. But the point is that you try your best to have a fair starting place.
That's
so
right.
That everybody who competes, they got a fair shot. I know that when I applied to Yale from Danbury High School, I went to public high school. I had no counseling of how do you get into one of these schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I came from a county, Fairfield County, which everybody in the southern part of Fairfield County is very wealthy, and they have guidance counselors, and like they're spending 4 years trying to get these kids into these schools.
Yeah.
So I didn't get into Yale. I transferred to Yale. And so you realize that no matter where you are, there's inequalities, and it's very complicated. But when you cheat the way these people cheated, you make everyone cynical. You make everyone feel like the whole system is rigged.
Yeah.
And the same thing with our electoral system. It's very important, folks, that we make these institutions as good as they can be and as fair as they can be. We may never get it perfect, but we have to do everything we can to cut out voter fraud, all that kind of stuff. This is at the heart of our culture and our civilization. So when I read the news yesterday and I followed up on it and obviously had to speak on Shannon Bream's show, I was just really sickened to think that parents would do this and that you ruin it for everybody. Every single person applying to college has this in the back of their minds now that it's rigged. I didn't get in because so-and-so got their kid in and they cheated and they bribed and whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think the book should be thrown, especially at the coaches and at the people. This guy, David Singer, should never see the light of day again, or not David, whatever his name is, Singer. Horrible, horrible, wicked, wicked stuff. Okay, some happy news.
Yes.
We've been raising money for Food for the Poor.
Yes.
Before Baroness Cox comes back to continue the conversation, I want to say thank you to those of you who have given to Food for the Poor. If you've not yet given, folks, this is a golden opportunity to do something that you know is the right thing.
Yes.
This is not, you don't have to guess. There are people in Haiti who are suffering horribly, and whatever you give, it doesn't matter you give to Food for the Poor through this program, I can just guarantee you that most of that money is going to help these kids. This is not going to some kind of bureaucracy or whatever. So I want to encourage you to go to MetaxasTalk.com. If you go there, your gift matters. We've got a clip. Melanie, who works with Food for the Poor, has a few words. Go ahead.
Not everybody can travel to Haiti and be able to see what we're seeing, but I'll tell you what, you can give $10, you can give $20, you can give $50, you can give $100, and I can promise you that Food for the Poor will take that money and they will be able to continue to provide a dream and a hope for these people.
I hope, folks, that you'll go to MetaxasTalk.com and give. And again, it doesn't matter what you give, but we trust Food for the Poor. Yes. When you give a penny to them, that penny helps these kids. So it doesn't matter what you give. Please give anything you can. Please, like whatever it is. The smaller amount, the more impressed I will be that you took the trouble. I'm not kidding. So please give. Those of you who can give a lot, give a lot. Before we go, I want to remind everybody my travel schedule. I'm going to be all over the planet. Go to my website, ericmetaxas.com. When you go to ericmetaxas.com, you hit the schedule. I'm going to be in Anaheim. I'm going to be in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm going to be in Dallas. I'm preaching in Dallas. I'm speaking in Houston. I am all over the place. Check it out. And when you go to MyPillow.com, whatever you order, make sure you put in Eric or Metaxas as the code. Tell your friends, Eric or Metaxas. You get the big MyPillow.com Eric Metaxas discount. We'll be right back with the great Baroness Cox.
What if every Christian discovered that their favorite hero of the faith held to some false and even shocking views? In his new book, Regrace, best-selling author Frank Viola uncovers some of the shocking beliefs held by faith giants like Luther, Augustine, and C.S. Lewis. He challenges us all to engage with fellow believers more graciously, even when we disagree. Regrace is available now, wherever books are sold.
Coming to theaters for 3 days only. Patterns of Evidence, The Moses Controversy.
The Lord said to Moses, write this in a book.
A new documentary follows investigative filmmaker Timothy Mahoney's faith-affirming journey throughout the Middle East in search of scientific evidence that Moses wrote the first books of the Bible.
So the question is the Bible a literal story of God acting in history?
Patterns of Evidence, The Moses Controversy. In theaters March 14th, 16th, and 19th only. For tickets, go to patternsofevidence.com/Moses.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started. HomeAdvisor.
The way you get your medicine prescriptions is now changing across America. GoGoMeds.com can deliver your medicine right to your door. Ask your doctor to send your prescription to GoGoMeds.com. Once you fill in your information, it's in the system and your prescription is delivered. It's just that easy. Go to GoGoMeds.com and use the promo code Mike2018 and save $10 on your first prescription. That's GoGoMeds.com, and the promo code Mike2018 gets you $10 off your first prescription.
Hey there, folks. It's Eric Metaxas. If you know My Pillow, you already know how effective it is. On this program, we joke half seriously that it is the official pillow of Rip Van Winkle. Mike Lindell dedicated himself to inventing a pillow that works, that's effective. It's not a joke. I mean, if you know his story, we've interviewed him on the program. It's an amazing story, right? Okay, well, if you're looking for a great night's sleep right now, is the perfect time to get your first MyPillow. By the way, if you already know how great it is, you can get them for everybody you know. But I say that because right now on this program, to my listeners, there is a special offer, a four-pack offer that includes two premium MyPillows with two go-anywhere pillows plus free shipping. You have to call 800-978-3057 and use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or go to MyPillow.com, use the promo code Eric or Metaxas, or call 800-978-3057. Do it now.
I remember feeling so desperate and so trapped. I was surrounded by family and friends that loved me. Any one of them would have listened to me, but I was so afraid of opening up to them, too embarrassed to talk about what was causing me so much pain. It felt like torture to be so close to people that would have loved to help me and yet too embarrassed to ask for help. And then a few weeks ago, I heard about Faithful Counseling here on the radio. Christian counselors, fellow believers, trusted therapists who not only share my faith, but could actually help me. They want to give you a free week so you can try them out. You can begin a conversation by text or phone, even video conferencing, in the privacy of your own home. Why not give it a try? If it's not for you, cancel during your first week and you won't pay a dime. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's time to talk to someone who can help. Go now to tryfaithfulcounseling.com. It's so easy to get started, and your first week is free. Go to tryfaithfulcounseling.com.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I believe that's Jerry Rafferty. And I believe you are Baroness Caroline Cox. I just love having you here. This is our second hour together. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now,
hang up with me.
Now, in the previous hour, we talked about whatever I wanted to talk about. Now I want to talk about whatever you want to talk about, as long as it falls under the rubric of what I want to talk about. First of all, we want to make sure we get the website out. It is there's a U.S. version of HART, H-A-R-T, HART, and it is the website is HART. -us.com. The head of heart-us.com, is that Pippa?
Pippa Gerhardt.
The wonderful woman?
And Rob Gerhardt.
The wonderful woman, Pippa?
Absolutely.
Pippa, that's not an American name. What is that?
I've got a daughter called Pippa, so don't be rude about
it. It's one of those British type names. But I know that we have British type people now living in the United States. Okay, so heart-us.com. But your organization does so many things, and I always want to connect people to you. We talked in the previous hour about what HART is doing, and let's just take the time, since my audience knows you a little bit now, having listened to the previous hour, what are some of the things going on that you want to talk about? Because you see these things with your own eyes.
I think I'd love to give just two brief stories to illustrate what we do and why I think it's so important, and then to mention a little bit about what's happening in the UK.
And by the way, I didn't mention, in case people are just listening to this hour and didn't listen to the first hour, that you're a member of the House of Lords, appointed by by Lady Thatcher. And you work now around the world in helping those persecuted for their faith, and some tremendous stories. And so that's the subject generally. But anything, yeah.
Thank you. I use my role in the House of Lords, as I said, to be a voice for those whose voices are not heard. So my little organization, HART, the American version you've already referred to, which needs all the support we can get.
Yeah.
But we work for victims of oppression who are not reached by other aid organizations for political reasons. Governments don't allow them to go. So sometimes we cross borders a bit illegally to be with those who are unreached. And we work for those who need aid and advocacy through local partners. Last week I was in Sudan and South Sudan. Another place, just very briefly, I'd like to touch on Nigeria and Syria, very briefly. Nigeria, it hasn't hit the headlines, but thousands of Christians were killed last year. It's a real persecution going on and needs an enormous amount of publicity and prayer. And I was there during the epicenter of violence last November. We visited four villages which had been attacked by the Fulani, who are the herdsmen, who have normally used peaceful means of going through driving their huge herds of cattle. Recently, they've been armed, and they're attacking Christian villages, and say they're responsible, together with Boko Haram, for the deaths of thousands of Christians. I was in a house where the pastor had been slaughtered, and I stood there in his house where he had been killed. Nigeria needs a lot of attention, a lot of prayer. Of course, elections are due to be taking place, and there's more violence feared.
When this airs, the elections will have taken place. And now, why do elections, if you don't mind my asking, why would they matter in this case? In other words, is there anyone in the Nigerian government who cares about this? It strikes me that they ought to be doing something, and they're not.
Exactly. Well, the elections have been postponed once, so who knows quite what's going to happen. But the president, as he is now, is a Fulani, and he's not been doing, we argue, back in the British Parliament, enough to ensure the safety of all his citizens and to call people to account who've carried out horrendous atrocities.
Now, when you speak about these things in the House of Lords, what is your goal there? Is it possible that Theresa May, with everything that's going on, can give any attention to this. I mean, it just seems like one of those distant things that they've got so much going on that they don't. In other words, what is your goal when you're speaking about it?
Well, our goal is to call the British government to account. It should be doing more to encourage or require the Nigerian government to do more to protect its own civilians, and indeed all the countries where we work, in Sudan and so on. The British government should be doing much more for human rights and justice and peace and freedom. Instead, it is condoning, and I've said this on the floor of the House, and it is complicit with its condoning. So it's a place you can call the British government to account, or you can commend if it's doing good things. Nigeria is one of our current issues. The other is Syria. And I was in Syria when the war was at its height. In 2016, I was in Aleppo. And the eastern Aleppo is the hands of the jihadists. We were in western Aleppo. The bombs are coming in all the time. And you went to a service in the Armenian church, and the children sang beautifully. The bombs were falling while the children were singing. But I'll never forget, and I think this is perhaps the heart of what heart is really doing. After the service, a Chaldean Catholic priest came up, and he referred to the story of a doubting Thomas, the disciple who wasn't there when our Lord appeared to the other disciples. And he said, well, I'm not going to believe unless our Lord appears to me. And I put my hand into his wounded hands and sighed. So our Lord did appear to him, excuse me, and said, put your hand in my wounded hands and sighed. Now you believe, go and tell. And this amazing priest said to us, and I never forget this, this is what we're all about, really.
He said, this is 2 years ago.
This is 2016.
Yeah.
But the message is timeless.
Yeah.
I said, thank you for coming. You came to put your hands into the wounds of our suffering. Now you believe, go and tell.
Yeah.
And that's what we try to do. We can't suffer what they've suffered, but we can put our hands into the wounds of their suffering. We can feel some of it, and we can believe, go and tell. And that is what we try to do. And that's how I use my role in the House of Lords.
I never have understood really how power works. I'm not one of these people who understands these things. And so I always think, what can we do? What can we do? Obviously, getting attention to it in the news. I mean, it's not less than scandalous. It's at least scandalous and probably satanic to talk about the things we talk about in the American news media when these things are going on. I guess the question, the power question, is what might, for example, what might American might do, whether soft power or hard power? We're dealing with demonic persecution of human beings for their faith. Surely there is something that we, let's say, in the United States can do. What can the Trump administration do? How can we exert power? What power do we have? What leverage do we have in a place like Nigeria?
Well, you can always put pressure on the regime there, the government there. I've argued for this in the House of Lords. We give massive aid to Nigeria. Now, that aid is needed, but I think not much of it goes where it's really needed. I think a lot goes where probably it's maybe actually escalating the suffering.
Okay, so then why do we give the aid? I mean,
well,
this
that's
is extraordinary.
That's what I ask the British government. But, for example, in Sudan, that regime in Khartoum, now it's actually killing innocent protesters, but it's brutalized its people since it took power by military coup in 1989, killing its own people in Darfur in the Dubai Mountains and arresting its own journalists. And it's a regime of atrocities. I'm sorry to say that the Americans lifted sanctions against it.
When?
I think, I can't remember exactly, but about a year ago, maybe 18 months ago.
And why do you suppose they would do that?
Well, that's a good question. But I can argue for the British government. The British government recently said that it is changing its policy towards the government in Sudan, in Khartoum, from sticks to carrots, because sticks didn't work. Well, my answer to that was, and I've raised this in the House of Lords, that the government in Khartoum is enjoying munching the carrot.
Yeah.
What conditions are we imposing?
Yeah.
And we're not.
Yeah.
They say we're talking to the government in Khartoum. Well, I say I've been going there since 1992. The government in Khartoum loves talking to the British government, but it continues to kill while it talks. What are we doing? So these are things that really worry me, where I think interests take place, and what those interests may be, not for me to say, over human rights, justice, and protecting innocent civilians.
Well, I think often what happens is it becomes a theological issue, or at least a philosophical issue. We're talking sometimes about Western regimes, whether the UK or anybody in Europe, and then here as well, that do not have a real view of evil In other words, they have a utopianist view. They're unwilling to understand that there is real evil and that they have to deal with it differently than they would deal with a trading partner who has similar values. I've always felt that the conservatives and the Republicans in the United States have been better, not always great at all, but at least have been better, let's say, in the last 50 years at understanding this idea. But under the Obama administration, it was the same kind of thing, an inability to see evil and to call evil. It always seems to be some hero like Ronald Reagan who will say axis of evil, evil empire. They're willing to say those things, to call a spade, as it were. Do you think that that's the principal problem in Europe today?
Well, I can give you one example of the refusal to admit and respond to evil. And I go back to the little Armenian enclave of Nagorno-Karabakh. At the height of that war, I was there when children were being shredded by cluster bombs. And I took those photographs of cluster bombs to a very senior person in the Foreign Office, and I said, please, will the British government make representations to the government of Azerbaijan to stop dropping cluster bombs on civilians and children being shredded? The answer I got, full marks for brevity, no country has an interest in another country, only interests. We have oil interests in Azerbaijan. Yeah. Good morning.
Hang on. We're going to go to a break. This is where we live today, folks. Stick around.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump has announced an immediate grounding of all Boeing 737 MAX 8 and MAX 9 jets in the U.S. The president says that any of the affected jets, which are now in the air, will be grounded upon landing and that all pilots have been notified. This comes after two deadly Boeing MAX 8 crashes within 6 months. In a Washington, D.C. courtroom, a federal judge sentenced Paul Manafort to more than 3.5 additional years in prison to the nearly 4 years he received last week in Virginia. Manafort also indicted on state charges in New York today. The European Union has adopted contingency measures in case Britain leaves the bloc as scheduled on March 29th without a withdrawal deal in place. Meanwhile, Parliament voted today not to exit without a deal in place and will ask for an extension tomorrow. This is SRN News.
It's so nice now that the kids are asleep.
Cheers.
We got the kids, our house, a stable income.
Checking off all the boxes.
But there's one box we haven't checked off.
What's that?
Life insurance.
We don't need to think about that now. We're young.
That's why now is the best time. Life insurance gets more expensive the older you get.
But I don't have time to do a blood test. It's such a hassle to meet with someone just to get a quote.
Not with Ethos.
Ethos?
It's a modern kind of life insurance. You just answer 4 quick questions at getethos.com and get a free instant quote. No pushy salespeople. And no medical exams required for policies covering under $1 million. You can apply online in just 10 minutes.
10 minutes? Let's do it.
But then what will we do for the rest of the night?
I'm sure we can think of something.
Get your free instant quote and submit your complete application in minutes. Just go to getethos.com. That's ETHOS. Getethos.com. Getethos.com.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
It's probably been about 10 years ago. I had quite a few credit cards. The interest on the cards was really high. I was making the minimum payments, but barely. And it was just getting to be too much, so I called Trinity.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976 to talk to a certified counselor.
They met with me, and they were able to get all of my credit cards in one lower payment.
Trinity will consolidate your accounts into one easy-to-manage monthly payment, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
They did help me learn how to manage my money. Now, you know, we have a house, and we're doing a lot better.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-990-6976.
My name is Holly, and I am debt-free for keeps.
1-800-990-6976.
Thank you.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show talking to Baroness Cox, who lets me call her Caroline. Thank you, by the way. You can call me Duke, if you like, or Eric, as you prefer.
I think you're a Marquis.
You think I'm a Marquis?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell my wife you said that. Or you can tell her yourself. We're going to be together in New Jersey tomorrow. I'm getting this big award, and you're not. Ha ha. And you're going to have to sit there and applaud me as I pretend to be the star of the show. Isn't that going to be terrible?
No.
It's going to be very humbling.
With enormous enthusiasm.
it's our friend Matt Bennett and Christian Union, the Nexus Conference. Right. But this will air after I've had my award, my day in the sun, my moment in the sun. But I want to talk to you. You just said something so stunning before we went to the break. And you said that... these cluster bombs were being dropped, that children were being
shredded,
killed horribly. And when you said, you know, we have an interest, they said, no, we have interests. In other words, now, of course, to be accurate, of course, that's true. Everything's complicated. You know, we have people like Kissinger introducing the concept of realpolitik. It needn't be amoral or immoral. We have to weigh things, and it's very uncomfortable. But it doesn't strike me that they were troubled by this, at least in the way they ought to have been troubled.
Well, I was so angry and saddened. I referred to this in the debate in the House of Lords, and I said, I quoted that, and I said, I'm ashamed to be British. I said, I'm not naive. I can understand commercial interests. I can understand strategic interests. But I don't think it's in the long-term interest of any nation to let those obliterate concern for human rights, and I don't think the majority of British people would want oil at the price of cluster bombs on children, at least without saying something about it.
Well, it's interesting because it reminds me, of course, of our mutual hero, William Wilberforce.
Yes.
I had the privilege of writing a book about Wilberforce, and it was the same thing then. There were tremendous economic interests such that indifferent politicians could say, look, we don't have to like slavery, but it's a necessary evil. There's no way around it. We want cheap sugar, don't we? And, of course, Wilberforce and his colleagues in the Clapham Circle made a tremendous campaign in the culture to win the hearts and minds of the British people to say, we don't want this, do we? And it strikes me that that's what you're doing now. You're trying to wake up people to say to their leaders, if we have to make some concessions to change this, we're willing to do it. And it strikes me that most people in Great Britain, most people in the West have social consciences. We don't have to be awakened in that way anymore. For 200 years, we've had social consciences, but most people are simply ignorant of these things.
Exactly. And I have to say, in Britain, the media often does not make all this available. So people are ignorant. And when they do know, then they do care.
See, that's the issue, though, the media. It's the same in the U.S. here, whether it's the left or the right. They don't talk about these things. Mm-hmm. They would much rather talk about, you know, the outrage of the day. And it is scandalous. And I'm not sure what we can do except talk about it on this program and hope that people will send this interview out on Twitter and on Facebook. And I say that now, Caroline, because I think many people listening don't realize that they, too, have an obligation to spread the word. If the media, if the networks are not getting word out about these things, it falls to us. By the grace of God, through social media, we have the ability to tell many friends about these things who can tell their friends. So I just want to say that to my listening audience, that we really have an obligation to send this out. We're going to, you know, put this on YouTube. And we'll put this, you know, in a number of different places. So I just want to say that. I also want to remind people that the website here in the U.S. is www.heart-us.com. Heart-us.com. What else should we talk about?
Can I just mention that heart is H-A-R-T and not H-E-R-T.
And
it stands for Humanitarian Aid Relief Trust.
Humanitarian Aid Relief Trust. Trust.
So it's www.heart-us.com.
The book that I'm holding in my hand, it's called This Immoral Trade, Slavery in the 21st Century. When did this come out? Because I'm not sure that I've seen this one.
It came out on the bicentenary of William Wilberforce's Parliamentary Achievements.
Ah, this is a new cover, then.
I wrote it, yes, it is. I wrote it because, really, slavery was not on the agenda at that time.
Yeah.
People hardly knew about it, and I wanted to make people aware of the horrors of contemporary slavery. There's probably more slavery in the world today than there has been ever in human history.
Now, let's think about this. How is this possible if during the times of colonialism, obviously, there was slavery, and every colonial empire, whether the Dutch or the French or the Spanish or the British, they all had colonies and slaves. How is it possible that when the West eradicated slavery, that we come to a place 200 years later where we don't have colonialism and we have more slavery?
Well, without in any way underestimating the horrors and the evil of the slavery with which our nations were, my nation was associated, one thing that's never really been highlighted is there's been more Arab on African slavery than there ever was white on black slavery. And that is going on. When I was in Sudan during the war, the previous war that went from 1989 to 2005, the leaders from Khartoum used to go down to the borderlands and they used to encourage the taking of slaves. They would, you have the Mujahideen, who are the jihad warriors, who are the government of Sudan soldiers, who are called the Murahaleen, and they're the local tribespeople. They would give them fast horses and Kalashnikovs, and they would say, go and capture the Christians. It's entitled, you should do it, it's a duty, and bring them back as slaves and Islamize them. That is part of jihad.
So
that was encouraged, and tens of thousands were taken as slaves in that war alone.
When we come back, I want to talk about the theology behind that and the uncomfortable subject of Islam in the 21st century. Albin, I want to tell you about Relief Factor.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I take it all the time.
I know you do.
A lot of people take it. Half the media are talking about it. But on this program, instead of me talking about it, how about if we could get somebody else to talk about it? Somebody, for example, named Finetta.
Oh.
Over the years, as I got older, I noticed pain in my hips, and it got worse and worse. Trying to walk upstairs, it was so miserable. That morning, I heard about Relief Factor. I ordered it right then. Within 3 weeks, I was free of pain.
That's what everybody says. You try it within three. If it's not helped you within 3 weeks, I wouldn't use it. But most people are helped by it. It's all natural botanicals. You could take it all day long. It's just not the kind of thing you have to worry about, like Advil or something. Well, you know, you don't want to take that stuff regularly. So go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com. It has helped me. It has helped a ton of people. I highly recommend it. I beg my relatives to take it. Relieffactor.com.
Have you tried digital marketing but don't know if it's getting you customers? Got different companies running your web design, social media marketing, and geofencing, but not sure which is working and which is a waste of your dollars? Contact us at Salem Surround, digital marketing experts who offer a free analysis of your digital marketing effectiveness and suggest methods that could dramatically increase your sales. We can put all your digital marketing under one roof, give you monthly reports on results, and instantly move your dollars to the most effective areas of your digital marketing suite. Social marketing, geofencing, web search enhancement, event targeting, and more. Now there are no limitations on where you can reach customers with Salem Surround. Total market penetration for increased ROI.
Learn more by logging on to SalemSurround.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Hey, this is Eric Metaxas for Americans for Freedom of Religion. Have you heard the lie that America's public schools are God-free zones? Or do you hear Americans lament that God, religion, and morals are not allowed in our schools? These Americans believe a big lie from politicians and the media who twist the phrase separation of church and state, insisting that God is not allowed in our schools. But actually, student prayer was never removed from schools. The Department of Education's guidelines clearly state that students may pray, read the Bible, speak and write about their faith when it is student-initiated, voluntary, and non-disruptive. But public school students are routinely told not to pray, write about their faith, or even speak the phrase Merry Christmas. Learn more at AmericansForFreedomOfReligion.org. Download the video and educational materials. Share them with your family, friends, and public school administrators. Please consider contacting or supporting this nonprofit religious freedom movement on the Americans for Freedom of Religion website so we can better protect our religious heritage for our children. AmericansForFreedomOfReligion.org.
Studies show Americans are getting less sleep than ever. Think about it. How did you sleep last night? At Boll & Branch, your sleep is all we think about. Hi, I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch. 5 years ago, my wife Missy and I set out to give you the best sleep of your life by creating the softest, most comfortable sheets in the world. But don't take my word for it. Our products have thousands of five-star reviews and are loved by three U.S. presidents. Every Boll & Branch product is designed with you in mind. From our signature soft sheets to our cozy throws to our plush towels. We even label the long and short sides of our fitted sheets so it's that much easier to make your bed. We want you to love your Boll & Branch purchase, so we give you a 30-day risk-free trial. And right now, you'll get $50 off your first set of sheets plus free shipping at bollandbranch.com with promo code CALM. That's B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code CALM to get $50 off. Bollandbranch.com, promo code CALM.
Big, bright, shiny yellow sun. Come and watch your children play.
Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. That's Alan Clapp and the Orange Peels. I love those guys. They have a new album out. I'm talking to Baroness Caroline Cox, and we're talking about tough stuff, but this is where you live, Caroline. You were just saying that we have to lay out the facts that there is more Arab Muslim slavery against Africans than there ever was. And I wanted to say, isn't it because the theology of these radical Islamists is that slavery is absolutely fine? And that is where, of course, Western Christians differ with them. People are uncomfortable saying such things, but you're not.
Well, I'm a Christian, and we have to tell the truth. And only the truth will make us free. Only the truth will perhaps help the slaves to be free. I mean, you saw a lot of this, obviously, in Syria and Iraq with the Yazidi women being taken as sex slaves and so on. It's a horrendous contemporary phenomenon. But I would just like to make a little point about Islam and Islam in Britain. I have many, many friends who are Muslims, and there are many variations of Islam and the practice of Islam which are not problematic and not associated with these horrors and this extremism. My concern is that of what I would call Islamism or extremist Islam, which is responsible for the horrors in Sudan. It's an Islamist regime there. Obviously, there's ISIS, there's al-Shabaab, there's Boko Haram. There are all the Islamist terrorist activities and organizations. In Britain, as I say, many, many friends who are Muslims share a block of apartment block with two Muslim families who are delightful. But we do have a political and strategic Islam that is carrying out things which I find absolutely unacceptable. For example, we have at least 80 Sharia councils, and they adopt Sharia principles in ways which are causing huge suffering to Muslim women.
Okay, now let's clarify. You're saying that in England, there are 80 Sharia councils.
At least.
Who, to explain this, in other words, they are replacing British law enforcement, British judiciary. In other words, these are little carve-outs, these little Islamist islands in the midst of a sovereign country called the UK, and they are able to do things to women, to subjugate women in a way that ought not to be possible within the borders of the UK. But you're saying that the leaders in Parliament are turning a blind eye because they're afraid to confront these Islamic constituents, shall we say?
Well, I've raised this issue for quite a few years now to raise awareness. And I think I had an inspiration for once in my life to shine a light through two prisms to raise these issues in ways that people could talk about and address. One is the prism of gender discrimination, because the way Sharia law is interpreted and applied in the UK is inherently desperately discriminatory against women. I'll give a couple of examples. The other prism shining the light through was a threat to one law for all in a country that signed Magna Carta over 800 years ago. And shine light through those prisms, it comes on to the practice of Sharia law in the UK. And a lot of people do support my position and do talk about it. I have a private members bill, I've had several. They never get very far because the government doesn't support them.
Which government doesn't support them? Theresa May's government doesn't support them?
I've had these private members' bills for quite a few years, and the British government's never supported them.
And why?
Well, that's for them to answer.
Well, no. You have to try to explain, because, look, I know that in these precincts to which you refer, the physical abuse of women is not just permitted, but encouraged. Okay, we in the West say this is wrong. This goes against the civil rights of women. How is it that the British government cannot take a stand against this? In other words, the people who don't take a stand, to my mind, are cowards. But the question is, what do you think their reasoning might be?
Well, there's a very strong influence of what I would say is political Islam, and there is perhaps a great reluctance to address that. But may I just give a couple of examples? Because Muslim women, so many of them come to me literally suicidal, because under the way Sharia law is imposed or working in the UK, is a man may divorce his wife just by saying, I divorced you three times. So one and two ladies came to me, they've been divorced by post. And unless they've had a legally registered marriage, then they have no rights whatever, and they're left completely without rights, and they may lose the custody of their children. So there is the asymmetrical divorce. There is the polygamy that is very widespread in the UK. We don't allow bigamy legally, but with a Sharia marriage, you can have polygamy. And so many women come to me and they're desperate. They've been married into a third wife in a polygamous marriage. And, of course, that has implications for demography, which is quite serious. And the Henry Jackson Society did a study of the polygamous marriages and the differential birth rates of Muslim communities compared to other communities, and 6 to 7 times higher. So they have very serious issues there. And then there is the so-called honor-based violence. And women who really suffer from that, they come to me suicidal, in tears, we weep together. And so my work is supported by the Muslim Women's Advisory Council, by other Muslims in Britain, against the British government and other Muslim organizations that like the status quo. So it's a real political and spiritual battle.
And it strikes me that this is, others have said it, but a crisis of cultural confidence. That's what's been happening in the West for many, many decades. In other words, many of the leaders in the West, and including in the United States, don't really cherish our so-called Western values, hardly understand them anymore, and therefore are loath to spend any political capital in standing up for those values. They just sort of shrug and they let the barbarians at the gate in, because they're theory would be, well, who are we to say who's a barbarian and who isn't? It's an extraordinary moment in our history.
I think we're reaping the whirlwind of what we spoke about earlier, of that enormous offensive against our fundamental values of faith and freedom by Marxism and Leninism way back in the 1970s and 80s. And I know my own college, the students who got the first-class honours degrees, et cetera, they were the ones who were politically correct. And the staff used to have meetings telling them where they had to go to work to develop their aggressive secular humanism stroke Marxism Leninism. And they were appointed to positions in teacher education, in social work, in the media. And so we are reaping a whirlwind of an assault on our fundamental spiritual, cultural, and political heritage.
We're going to go to another break. Folks, if you want to help Baroness Cox, you can go to heart-us.com. That's HART-US.com. There are many books. Stick around. Final segment with Baroness Caroline Cox.
Hey, Mike, how's the house coming along?
Needs a ton of work. The pipes are leaking. Needs a new roof. The AC just broke. I just don't have time to do it all myself. You know anyone?
Oh, just ask Home Advisor. They match you with the best local pros for any home project.
Cool.
Yeah, you can read reviews and book appointments online.
What's it cost?
Actually, Home Advisor is always free to use.
Nice. I'll check it out.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app. Home
Advisor. Email phishing attacks cost businesses billions annually in real cash, data loss, and brand damage. Phishing emails are hard to detect because the messages appear to be legitimate to unsuspecting employees. Introducing Barracuda Fish Line, a groundbreaking cloud-based solution designed to help employees recognize sophisticated email phishing attacks through interactive training reinforced by continuous simulation. Transform your employees from a liability into a line of defense. Go to barracuda.com/PL to learn more.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. President Trump has announced the grounding of all Boeing 737 MAX 8 and MAX 9 aircraft following that deadly crash in Ethiopia. White House correspondent Greg Cluxton reports.
Facing growing pressure to act, the president announced that the U.S. is issuing an emergency order that will keep certain Boeing planes out of the sky.
Planes that are in the air will be grounded if they're the 737 MAX, will be grounded upon landing at the destination.
He said safety is of paramount concern and that the grounding of the aircraft is effective immediately. The president also praised Boeing, calling it an incredible company that is working very, very hard to come up with an answer. Greg Clugston, The White House.
Well, Manafort sentenced to more than 3.5 additional years in prison today. The sentence was added onto the 47 months Manafort was sentenced to on bank and tax fraud charges in Virginia. This is SRN News.
My neighbors always ask me, hey, Pete, how do you keep your yard so nice?
Pete makes it simple with a Scotts Turf Builder feeding program. It's the best way to get the yard you want all year long, guaranteed. All it takes is 4 easy feedings. Just once in early spring, late spring, summer, and fall. Providing nutrition and weed control to keep your lawn lush and green.
So, now you know my secret.
This is a Scotts Yard. Pick up a Scotts Turf Builder program today.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The 3-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
A crazy little training Cochabamba takes you for a ride that's quite a thrill. This crazy little train's a choo-choo-cha-cha. It cha-chas all the way to Cha-Cha-Ville.
Hey there, folks. I have no idea who chooses this music, but I think it's intended to lure you in with curiosity. And then shazam, we hit you with our heavy-duty guests. Baroness Caroline Cox, just a few minutes left. I mean, the time really has flown, but I just wanted people to get to know you a little bit and to be able to reach you. There are people all across the country, and I say in the U.S., there are people listening all around the world by the grace of God, but who I think would want to know more. And so I thought we've got to get you on if you're in New York. So thank you for your time. And I want to say again, the website is HART. It's HART-US.com, HART-US.com. So in the 3 minutes we have left, what shall we talk about?
Well, the two main issues that I would like to share and leave with you are, first of all, supporting brothers and sisters on front lines of faith and freedom around the world who are suffering. And I'm a Christian. The Christian mandate is to heal the sick, speak for the oppressed. Most of our partners in those countries like Nigeria and Syria and Sudan are Christian, but we have a mandate to work for people, whatever their faith tradition, with unconditional love. So we also work with Buddhists in Burma. We work with Muslims in Blue Nile to be available for all, but they are holding front lines of faith and freedom, and they need all the support that we can give them. So that's my first message. The second message is, as I've indicated, happening in Britain, there is a real threat to our Christian, spiritual, political, and cultural heritage from a political Islam. Many Muslims are suffering, and we do need to wake up and be very, very active in order to protect our cultural heritage.
And that takes courage. And it's interesting because having written my book on Bonhoeffer, I saw this happen in Germany in the 30s. I just said, this is so fascinating. Today, it's the Marxist left. In those days, it was the National Socialists. But they use the same tactics. Mm-hmm. And those who stand by are complicit. Bonhoeffer is famous for having said, although we don't know if he did say it, but he's famous for having said, silence in the face of evil is itself evil. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. So there are plenty of people in the West today, in the U.S., in the U.K., who know that it costs something to speak up, to say that is wrong, whatever it is. And so by having you on, I want to encourage those people, by your example, to be a little bit braver and be understand what people are suffering as a result of our silence.
Well, one of the great blessings God has given me to be in the House of Lords, like the Senate, and I'm told that when I speak, the House does listen because they know I've been there. And to go there and to come back with the authentic message of first-hand knowledge and experience, I think is a great blessing, great asset. Yes, I'm not always very popular with the government when I try and call the government to account, but I get a lot of support from other members of Parliament.
Well, as I say, I through this program, I wanted to magnify your voice a little bit because it is the fact that the media does not pay attention to these things. Shame on them, on all of them. They're people suffering. That's it, period. They're people suffering, and we need to do something about it, and we can do something about it. So, again, people can go to heart-us.com. That's heart-us.com. And I know that all of these books are worth reading. Baroness Caroline Cox, I'm amazed we're already out of time, but thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for putting up with me.
Yes.
It's a privilege.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.